are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Father, we just thank you for this time of the year. And God, we just thank you for the birth of your Son as we continue to remember that. And God, I pray that as your word comes forth this morning, it will bring life and it will bring life to the full. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year is a time, this time of the year is a time to consider. Often, you know, we hear about New Year's resolutions and people think about the year gone and what's coming ahead. So how do you look back on 2018? Is it a good year? Is it a great year? Is it a learning year? Is it a fruitful year? Or in your mind, maybe it's one to forget. Maybe it's been a tough year. And how does that impact on what's coming ahead? How does that impact on 2019, on what's looking ahead? A time for New Year's resolutions, maybe. So today, regardless of what your year has been and what it's looking like ahead, I would like to talk on the subject, to complain or give thanks. So let me ask the question again, how do you look back on 2018? Do you complain about it? Or do you give thanks for it? Is it glass half full? Or is it glass half empty? For some reason, it doesn't matter how good things have been. Some people can find a reason for everything to be glass half empty. They find a problem in every solution. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe they're sitting next to you right now. Don't look at them. Stop elbowing. So I thought I'd just bring a couple of people up here. I'd ask Abby and Liam to come up here as I give them something. And those guys, let's welcome Abby and Liam. Thanks, guys, for coming up. And I'd like to give Liam this. I'll give you the microphone in a minute. I'll just ask you a couple of questions. Here, Liam. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's glass half empty. Like, yeah, could have at least gone to the length of giving me a full glass. Like, not that difficult. Second, I only really drink, like, Mount Franklin sparkling distilled water, and this doesn't smell like distilled water. And also, it smells like damn water, so...
Good one, Lane. Abby.
Thanks, Chris. I was really thirsty after all the singing, so I really appreciate it. It looks really good. It looks really clean. Thanks.
No worries. It's a good glass of water, that one, Liam, isn't it?
This one smells even worse. Like, and I'm pretty sure it's actually, like, a little more empty than the other one.
It's exactly the same, mate.
I'm not sure why Chris swapped the glasses, but I'm sure there was a reason. I'm sure this one's even better, so thanks. Thanks for stopping anyway. He's probably looking out for me.
Thank you, point in case. Thank these guys just for participating. So today I want to look at the effects of complaining and the effects of giving thanks. Philippians 2, 14 to 15 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. It says, do everything. That's everything. Everything means everything. Everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Let me just leave that one with you. Do everything. Do everything. That's everything. Doesn't mean we can put something aside. It says do everything without complaining or arguing. That's the standard that is set for those who follow Christ. That's the standard. Now, a great picture of complaining for us is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And there are a number of times through their journey that they complained. I think, you know, in the books through from Exodus to Numbers, there was quite a number of times that they complained. But here's number 14. This is getting to the end of it. And let's just read that together. Numbers 14 from verse 1 to 4. Then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. So they're happier. God's taking him into the promised land. Moses is leading him there. They're happier to die in Egypt than go to the promised land. They complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. And if we have a look at the next scripture in Psalm 106:25, it says, but they sulked, this is about the Israelites, it says, but they sulked and complained in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. They sulked and complained in their houses, to their families, to their friends. They sulked and complained in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. The outworking of their complaining, putting it politely, wasn't good. I don't know whether your parents ever said this to you. They never said it to me, but I've heard that it might have been said to others. It gets to the point where as a child you're complaining and your parents might have said to you something along the lines of, if you keep complaining, I'll give you something to complain about. Now, I heard that. I think my wife had that said to her a few times. I wouldn't have had it said to me more than once. But I reckon that this is about what happened. God had had enough of the complaining when he had said, I'm going to take you out of slavery and I'm going to lead you to promises better than you can ever imagine. And in the process, they whinged and they complained. See, the process and journey from Egypt to the promised land wasn't easy. Let's be truthful about it. There were some things that seemed good that were hard to let go of from Egypt. But the promised land was best. Not easy, but best. So an 11-day journey instead took 40 years for the Israelites of their bleating and whinging and moaning and complaining. See, there's a saying that goes like this, you can take the boy out of Egypt, but can you take Egypt out of the boy? So today for us, it's about mindsets. It's about renewing our mind. The Bible talks about in Romans, renewing our mind. The Egyptian mindset, a type of the world, is alive and well today. The Egyptian mindset is to complain. The Israelites complained about the manna, the food. They complained about the journey. They complained about the shoes that they wore. They complained about Moses, about the leadership. And the list goes on and on and on. So let me ask the question, what do you complain about? Do you complain about anything? Do you complain about the weather? Do you complain about the Australian top order? Do you complain about the food? The food at the restaurant? And if you're willing enough and stupid enough, complain about the food at home? Do you complain about the traffic? Do you complain about the roadworks? Do you complain about the rates? There's lots of things to complain about. Do you complain about the bills? The phone coverage? Do you complain about the kids? Do you complain about your parents? I know my kids, when it comes to internet time, think they've got something to complain about with their parents. Maybe you complain about the pastor. No. Maybe. I don't know. Not Graham I'm talking about. I'm talking about me. Maybe you complain about me. Maybe you complain about the church. So it's time to stop complaining and start giving thanks. As I was preparing the message, I had a bit of a look on the internet because the internet's got all the answers for everything. And I got onto a site called the NeuroLife Chiropractic and Functional Medical Center. This was the website. And it had on there the effects of complaining versus gratitude on brain health. And let me just read a little bit of this. I found it very interesting. Chronic complaining results from a brain mechanism called negative plasticity. Plasticity is a term used in neurology to explain how we learn new things via communication between neurons. This is deep. When you learn something new, such as a language, new pathways of communication begin developing in the brain. The more you practice, the more efficient those pathways of communication become. I know it's similar with addictions. So that the new skill eventually becomes automatic. This conserves energy in the brain. Unfortunately, plasticity can be negative too, making you more efficient at something that is harmful for your health. Examples include bad habits, addictions, stress, PTSD, and chronic complaining. In other words, the more you complain, the more efficient this process becomes for your brain, eventually becoming automatic. As a result, you start to see life through a bleak lens, which gradually affects your behaviours and belief systems for the worse. God's got the answer already. Sometimes he just says, don't complain, do everything without complaining, and he doesn't give us a reason. It's for us to listen. What's worse, chronic complaining can raise your risk of dementia by releasing excess cortisol, a stress hormone that more rapidly degenerates areas of the brain related to learning and memory. Why does complaining and negativity come so easy? In what serves as a survival trait, our brains and bodies respond more actively and readily to negativity than positivity. This phenomenon is called a negative bias. If we can just put just some things about complaining, we're not going to go long for this morning. I want to keep this short and sharp. Complaining is easy. Complaining infects those around us. complaining makes us sick, as we've just seen. Complaining shirks responsibility. I'll talk about that in a minute. Complaining keeps us where we are. And complaining gives God a bad name. One of the things that drives me up the wall that I complain about, because we all complain about some things, and it's something that God has been very much on me, is I live in Croydon, and we're right on the edge of Moorabbark, and down the bottom of our road in Croydon, there's a place called Five Ways, where we've got two or three roundabouts within the roads. And it does my head in that people don't know how to use roundabouts. Anyone, don't put your hands up. We're not complaining this morning. Don't complain. And so I know that I pull up the roundabout. Why don't you go? Just go. Just go. You can go. Why are you waiting for that person? Now, I'm saying this aloud a lot of the time. And the reason that I'm frustrated and annoyed is because I'm running late. And I complain. And it's easy to complain. It's hard to sit there and control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. And control my emotions in that. But instead, I've been complaining. And while I'm complaining, my kids are in the car with me. So here's to the point. It infects those around us. As my kids, one of them's got his L's, he will complain too. So my complaining will rub off on him. That will affect him, infect him. So that might eventually have a negative outworking in his life. The other thing I want to say is complaining shirks responsibility. Sometimes we complain about things that happen with us in life, and it's always someone else's fault. We need to take responsibility for where we are in life. Yes, bad things happen and sometimes they're unjust, but that doesn't mean that we don't own our part of the story. And so we continue to complain about others and what they've done and how they've affected our lives. But you know what? If I keep complaining about those roundabouts, and this is just a really simple example, I'm not going to get up earlier. I'm not going to get organised earlier. And it's always going to be the other people on the roundabout's fault that I'm not getting to where I need to go quicker. And I can drive down to those roundabouts and the people that aren't correctly using the roundabouts won't be an issue to me because I'm taking responsibility for my part of my life. So complaining shirks responsibility. Complaining keeps us where we are. We don't move on from where we've been if we complain because it's always someone else's fault, so we stay where we are. And complaining gives God a bad name. I don't need to talk about that, but if we're whinging and moaning and there's people around us that see that we're Christians, we're giving God a bad name. Something to ponder on. And I want to give you this scripture, and this is probably the scripture that I read in all of this where I thought I better straighten up. And it's Exodus 16:8, and it says this. Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning enough bread to be fully satisfied, because the Lord has heard your murmurings against him. For what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." When we murmur and complain, God's given us life. We're complaining about him, not about anyone else. Be aware of that when you complain. Living thankfully and giving praise is a totally different road. You can take that one down, Josh. Living thankfully and giving praise is a totally different road to complaining. As we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in every situation, like the previous scripture says, in everything don't complain, but it says in every situation, No matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what. I love that in the Amplified. No matter what the circumstances. Case in point, Petula's standing up here this morning. She could be wallowing in her situation, but she is an example for all of us through what she is going through. No matter what the circumstances, she is giving thanks. I honour you, Petula. You are a star and an inspiration. No matter what. I just want to read the end of that article I read before. It says, in studying negativity bias, In studying negativity bias in couples, researchers found that partners in successful marriages naturally employed a 5-to-1 ratio of positivity to negativity. So successful couples, I would say successful relationships across the board, employ a 5-to-1 ratio of positivity to negativity in their interactions with one another. In other words, it takes a lot more effort in a positive direction to prevent a slide into negative plasticity and the health fallouts from chronic complaining. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. God has not asked us to do our life on our own. He has given us the power by His Spirit. He says, all things have passed away and behold, all things become new. But it is a process. We're walking from Egypt into the promised land. We can do this and I've said this to my boys before, we can do this for a short time in things in our life, or we can do this for a long time. It's our choice. Choose life this day to whom you will serve. Fill the void left from the old with the new. The antidote for complaining and its effects is giving thanks. That is the simple fact of life. It's to give thanks, and we can all do that. Psalm 105 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks, giving thanks to the Lord, the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. Give thanks that God has protected you from making a shipwreck of your life. Give thanks that God has given you life. Give thanks for your friends, your family, and your job. Give thanks for God's provision. Give thanks that God came through. Give thanks that God sent Jesus. Give thanks that God is with you no matter what. Give thanks. If we can just put those things up on the screen. Thanks and praise. Worship team, if you can come up this morning, please. That would be awesome. Thanks and praise lifts others up. When you thank someone, it lifts them up. When you thank God, His ears are opened. His ears are open to complaining too, but I don't like the outworking of that. Thanks and praise, and more about thanks this morning, lifts us up. It gets us moving. Joyce Meyer, I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and she has this saying that it says, when we complain, we remain. When we praise, we are raised. And I love that. We don't want to remain where we are. It lifts others up. It lifts us up. It lifts Jesus up. When we praise, when we give thanks, it lifts Jesus up. It puts Him in a position that is incredible. And so if Jesus is lifted up, the Father is lifted up also. So let's give thanks in all circumstances. Let's today move from a place of complaint to a place of thanks, no matter what the circumstances. As we reflect on 2018, let's give thanks to God for what he's done. Let's give thanks no matter what the circumstance. Let's not complain about it. It's not going to change the situation. But giving thanks will change our mindset. And give thanks and look forward to a great year in 2019. Can I get everyone to stand, please? We're going to pray and then we're going to finish singing that last hymn that we sang and give it to God this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the life that you have given to us. Lord, I know that at times we all just dip into complaining about different things. But Lord, you know best what's for us. You say complaining isn't good for us, but you say thanks is great for us. And so, Lord, this morning we give you thanks for what you've given to us. We have so much to be thankful for. Let us remember that each and every day, what you've done for us and what you are going to do for us. And we give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Can I just say, if you're identifying this morning and you thought, yeah, I'm a bit of a complainer, why don't you go home, get a bit of paper, and write down what you can be thankful for in your life. Stop thinking about the complaint. Think about what you can be thankful for. That's the difference maker.